Let me just say, before we get started here, I don't know if... Listen, you all looking for some chairs over there? We got some 440 seats up here that I don't think anybody plans to use. If you'd like to just come on in, relax, because what I have to say won't, you know, be all that big a deal for the moment. But if you ever have a chance to live in a Navigator home, if God leads you to do that, give it serious consideration and thought. We were privileged to move into the home that had been purchased by Dawson and Lila Trotman. It was their home for many years. And the second year Buzzy and I were married, as I mentioned last night, I traveled most of the year, so she had the privilege of living with Lila Trotman in their home and working and being trained by Lila. And then later Bob and Marion Foster, who live here in Colorado Springs. And while I commuted back and forth from the eastern part of the U.S. And then several years later, after representing the Navigators up in Portland, Oregon, and down in Dallas, Texas, we were privileged to move into that home. And there were two couples and six or seven single men and two girls and a couple of children. That was the basic family. And that's what it was. It was a family for 3.5 years. And the heart relationships and the bond of love that was established there still exists today. And in the final analysis, when you look back over the years, it's relationships, it's people. It's not geography, it's not where you've been that makes so much difference. It's the people you got to know and spend time with. So if you're ever invited to live with some Nav rep and his wife for 6 months or a year or 2 years, give it serious consideration. It'll be a great, wonderful, fabulous experience. You'll have brothers and sisters in Christ that you will love and cherish for the rest of the cruise. And you'll even have some wild experiences like Dodie getting in the car with that hideous mask. What I want to know is, why did you bring him to this conference? I'm sorry, Diane. He and all that. He'll never live to be as old as he looks. Well... seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Just lay it aside. Put it down. Turn it loose. And the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Your race. You have a unique race to run. Your confidence course, your particular set of obstacles, are unique. Nobody has the challenges you have. They're special. God has entrusted you with a special set of heartaches and problems and joys, difficulties, blessings, testings. Your race is like nobody else's race. So let us individually run the race that is set before us, that God set before us, looking unto Jesus. And I was amazed as I sat back there this morning listening to Leroy talking about prayer, because the thing that the Lord laid on my heart is to simply spend some time with you this morning worshiping Jesus Christ. What we're going to do is take a passage of Scripture concerning the person of Christ, and then pause. And we're going to have a time of silence and a time of worship. We are going to look unto Jesus. That's what we're going to do this morning. So there won't be a sermon or a giant message. There'll be some passages of Scripture and then some moments of silence, of quiet. And we're going to do what Leroy has been doing with this man who's living in his home. We're just going to read the Word. And rather than pray out loud, we're all going to pray quietly. And we are simply going this morning, this closing session of the conference, to worship Jesus Christ. Now let me say, if you haven't made this discovery yet, I know some of you have come to know the Savior this weekend, and that's delightful. If you haven't come to know Him yet, if you're still circling the field, and you've turned your airplane on file, and you're kind of lined up on the runway, then when we have our first time of prayer this morning, you ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and to forgive your sin and to give you the free gift of eternal life. That's what you do when you bow your head. He'll do that for you. And then you can worship Him in spirit and in truth, because the Father is looking for men and women who will worship Jesus Christ in spirit and in truth. So if you haven't made that discovery or that decision, if you've thought about it all weekend and there you are on third base and you'd like to score, now's the time. You know the fact. You know He died for you. And He rose again. He's alive today, and He offers you the forgiveness of your sins. There's no sense trying to whitewash them. The only solution for sin is forgiveness. And He'll do that for you. So when we bow our heads, I'm going to read a passage of Scripture here in a moment, and then we're going to pray. But if you haven't made that decision and you'd like to, then when the time comes, you ask Him to forgive your sins, to give you the free gift of eternal life. Tell Him that you're accepting Him, receiving Him as your Savior and Lord. Now turn to Colossians chapter 1, please. And I'm going to read a passage of Scripture that tells us about the Lord Jesus. And after we've read it, we're going to pause and pray and worship Him. We're going to look to Him, who is in fact the author and the finisher of our faith. And as I read this passage, Colossians 1, beginning with verse 15 and through verse 22, you pick out one thing. You select one truth that you want to praise the Lord for and worship Him and thank Him. Be specific. Select one thing. And then when we go to prayer, you praise Him and adore Him and worship Him. Thank Him for who He is, for what He's done. So I'll read the passage. You follow along. And as I read it, you select one thing. And then when we go to prayer, that's the thing that you are going to praise and worship and adore Jesus Christ for this morning. Christ is the image of the invisible God. As Philip says, He's the visible expression of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things. And by Him all things hold together or consist. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning. He is the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. Everything that God is dwells in Jesus Christ, is contained in Christ. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you, who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now has He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death, to present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in His sight. Now take one basic thought, and let's pause. Let's just bow our heads and you worship and praise and adore and thank Him for one of these precious truths about His incomparable person. We'll just pause for a few moments. And after a little while, I'll say amen. We'll go to the next passage. Let's read the Philippians chapter 2 passage. We'll do the same thing. Beginning with verse 5, we'll go through verse 11, and we'll simply worship and praise Him. Philippians 2, beginning with verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He did not consider it something to be grasped or clutched. But He made Himself of no reputation. He took upon Himself the form of a servant. He was made in the likeness of men. The Creator became a man. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death. And not simply death that most men suffer, but the death of the cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, that name means Savior, Joshua, the Old Testament Joshua, Deliverer, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. Just think of that for a moment. The Creator, the God of the universe, became a man, a servant, and then He died on a cross. And God exalted Him, giving Him the most wonderful name in creation. And we have the privilege of bowing our knee and letting our tongues confess that He is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of God. Now let's pause and worship Him. Amen. All right, now let me read to you from Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself alone purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten unto the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. In case you wonder what the angels are doing this morning, all the angels of God are worshiping Jesus Christ this morning. We're just cooperating in what they're doing. And of the angels, he says, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire, but under the sun, he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth. The heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. They all shall become old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up. They shall be changed, but thou art the same. Thy years shall not fail. Now you select a thought from that passage. We'll lift our hearts once more in praise and adoration and worship. We will look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Okay, let's pray together. Amen. Now you know what the quiet time is all about, don't you? It's all about a person, an incomparable person. You cannot separate his person from his work. What he did because of who he is. Everything he said, every place he went, every life that he touched was simply an outflow or expression of his nature. He couldn't help himself. He had to do it. It was no effort for him. There was a price and there was a struggle, and he suffered fatigue and hunger and heartache, rejection. When he died alone. He knew what it was going to cost. It was because of who he was and who he is and who he always will be. Consider him. And as you leave the conference, Ask the Spirit of God to grant you the insight and the understanding to see through it all, through the activities, and through the Bible studies, and through the memory course, and through the program, helpful and as important as they are. To Jesus Christ. He is sufficient. You don't have a problem that He can't solve. You don't have a situation for which He is insufficient. I don't have to know what it is to tell you that. And the more time you spend with Him, the more like Him you become. That's what the whole thing is all about. Have you ever seen the wheel illustration? Anybody here hadn't seen the wheel illustration? Okay, good. You're safe, Paul. It is the Christ-centered life. Don't stumble over the illustration and miss the Savior. Don't miss the trees for the forest or vice versa, however that saying goes. Consider Him. Look unto Jesus. Make it a matter of prayer. Ask Him. Believe Him. Thank Him. Remember the things that Lee shared with us at the 8:30 hour this morning. Give thanks to Him. Going out the gate, have a flat tire. First thing you do, bow your head and say, "Thank you, Lord." Then you can have a few second thoughts about the tire dealer. You know. But first you give thanks and praise and worship. He's in control of your life. Lay aside the sins and weights. You do that. Set your heart to run with patience the race that God has traced for you. And keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. In all of the activities, in all of the studies, in all of the things that come your way, consider Him. Do you know who you're going to be looking at for all eternity? That's right. You might as well get a running start. The infinite Son of God. It'll take all eternity just to get to know Him. There won't be any boredom in heaven. It'll take us forever just to get to know Him. The beautiful thing is we can start now to consider Him. I'll tell you what I'd like to do. Donna, would you come to the piano, please? And I'd like to ask you to sing with me one of my favorite hymns in closing. Then after we've sung the hymn, if Paul has some word of announcement, it's number 39. If you don't know this one, memorize it. Include it in your quiet time. The sands of time are sinking. Number 39. Let's sing all four stanzas, shall we?
The sands of time are sinking. The dawn of heaven breaks. The sun. Dark has been the mist. The day spring is at hand, and glory, glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land.
Wait a second, how many of you have never sung that one before? Oh, is that right? Great. Well, that's a special treat. Listen to the music, learn the melody, but don't miss the words. Please don't, because it's all about our incomparable Savior. Oh, Christ, He is the fountain, the deep, sweet well of love. The streams of earth I've tasted, more deep I'll drink above. Let's sing it out, shall we?
Oh, Christ, He is the fountain, the deep, sweet well of love. The streams of earth I've tasted, more deep I'll drink above. There to an ocean full, His mercy doth expand, and glory, glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. Oh, I am my beloved, and my beloved brings a poor vile sinner into His house of wine. I stand upon His merit. I know no other stand. Not even the bride has not her garment, but her dear bridegroom's face. I will not gaze at glory, but on my King of grace. Not at the crown He at hand, the Lamb is all the glory of Emmanuel's land.
Let's pray together, shall we? The bride eyes not her garment, but her dear bridegroom's face. I will not gaze at glory, but on my King of grace. Not at the crown He giveth, but on His pierced hand. The Lamb is all the glory of Emmanuel's land. And our Father, together as a family, we have lifted our hearts this morning in worship and praise and adoration for the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world, the one who died for us and rose again, whose outstretched arms of love freely offer pardon, acceptance, forgiveness and joy, and grace sufficient for every need. Thank You for the incomparable privilege of worshiping Him this morning. of lifting our hearts and voices in praise. And Father, as we go from the conference to our place of service, to our homes, campuses, military bases, grant that we might go with an inner heart fixed and set to look unto Jesus, not only this day, but every day of our life, till we shall see Him face to face. This is our prayer, together with our praise, with hearts overflowing with thanksgiving. In His precious name, Amen.